amen. It's good to be back. And as Ty said, it's just impossible really to put into words the things that God showed to us while we were over there, how blessed that we truly are. And the physical blessings is one thing, and that probably stands out a lot. And with our eyes, that's the easiest thing that you can see. But as we've been talking about here in 1 John, that God is light, I guess what stood out to me was the difference in the amount of light that we've had.
That's right. Sure.
And Kevin, I mean, we talked to a lot of people while we were over there, and for those that had some light, a lot of it was mixed with a whole lot of lies. And you know, to compare that with the way that I've been raised, it's just it's two different. I mean, all I know to say is it's two different worlds. We're on the same planet, but it's two different worlds. And I've been taught the truth all my life, Dustin. Receive light after light after light after light. And there's going to be a whole lot required of us one day.
That's right.
Because of that. Those people, there's some of them that ain't getting no light. They just got the light of creation right now. And a whole lot of mixture of lots of other things. A lot of cults in the area, a lot of confusion, but it makes you real thankful for the truth that we've got to sit under, and I am thankful for it today. So 1 John, we'll continue the thought there that we've had. 1 John chapter number 1. We'll start reading in verse number 5. This then is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. And so I thank God for this passage of Scripture and what a help it's been to me. And as we're looking at this, what we talked about a couple weeks ago was the illumination from the Word of God that we have here, and the fact, the consideration that God is light. And I just love that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. And what that tells me is that if you get close to God, there's no darkness, there's no sin, there's nothing that's not exposed. When you come to the light, God exposes everything. He exposes the truth about you. He exposes the truth about himself. And I'm thankful for that. That's why a lot of people don't want to come to God, because there's exposure in light.
That's right.
But I am very thankful that God is light. And so we have this consideration, and we finished up last week talking about how that God took all that light that he was, and he placed it in his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. He veiled all that with flesh and brought him down so that you and I could get a glimpse of who he really was. And so with that, we can't help but go over to the book of John. The book of John, chapter 1. Got a lot of reading to do. Just point out a few things. Let the Scripture do the teaching. And we'll move on. John chapter 1. The Bible says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men.
That's right.
And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. I'm thankful for that. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. And so if you notice there what he said about Christ's life, said in him was life. If you want life, he's the only means of life. But he says, and the life was the light of men.
Yep.
And so you notice it doesn't say that in him was a life, and it doesn't say that he was a light of men. You notice that word the, when you see that word, that means the only one. He's the only means of life. He's the only means of light. He was God in the flesh, as the Bible tells us here. And his light shines in darkness. And the Bible says that the darkness comprehended it not. That means there's no means whereby which darkness could contain the light that Christ brought to this world. And I don't want to get too far ahead of myself, but what that means is I believe that everybody that was in the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ could see light. And the only way that you could not see the light that He truly was to willfully close your eyes. I believe that with all my heart. And He was the light. And so the Bible says also there that He lighteth every man that cometh into the world.
Right.
And so, you know, that question often comes up. People ask, and I've been asked, and Kevin, I know you've been asked, and you other people have been asked, what about these people that have never heard the gospel? I'm going to help you answer that today. The Bible teaches us right here that Christ is the light that lighteth every man.
Right.
Don't think for a minute that the Creator of mankind cannot shine light to every person on this planet. They might not receive the same amount of light that you and I receive, but they will receive light. And they will be held accountable for the light that they've been given. And their response to that light will determine how much more light they will be given. But I promise you this, that God is faithful. The Bible teaches us this. And the Bible does say that if we'll draw nigh to God, He'll do what? He'll draw nigh to us. You take somebody who's never heard the gospel like you and I, but they look up and they see creation. And John, they understand that there is a Creator. And they get to wanting to know more about that Creator. Guess what God will do? He'll send them somebody to tell them. I believe that with all my heart. You don't have to worry about those people. If they're interested in finding God, He'll go out of His way.
Yes.
Just as He went out of His way for the lady there in Samaria,
yeah.
He said, I must needs go through Samaria. He saw a person that was in need, that saw no means in themselves of getting help. But He said, I'll make a way to help them.
That's right.
See, that's the love that He has for us, and that's why He's the light that lighteth every man. Now, we have a responsibility, and as Kevin has said many times, our goal is to find where God is working and try to place ourselves in there so that we can be a tool that God uses. But don't think for a moment that God needs you,
hey,
or that God needs me.
Oh, thank God, brother.
He don't need any missionary that's out there. I'll just tell you. He does not need us. We need Him. And we got our perspectives all messed up. But it says that Christ is the light that lighteth every man. If He wants somebody to get light at them, you know what He'll do? He will get them light every time. We don't have to. Our responsibility is to work. We're supposed to be candles. We're supposed to burn brightly. We're supposed to let our light shine. But folks, God don't need us. We need Him.
That's right.
And Christ is the light that lighteth every man. So if you're ever asked that question, just share Him the truth that we know from the Word of God. The Bible teaches that creation itself shows us that there's a God. And those Africans, I didn't walk up to one, Kevin, that didn't believe that there was a God. I walked up to several that said, I'm a Jehovah's Witness. Or I go to the Pentecostal. Or I go to the United Church of Zambia. Or I'm a Seventh-day Adventist. Believe it or not, that's what I heard. Every one of them was mixed up with some lies. But you know what they were doing? They were looking for some light. And they were following the only light that they were given. And if they're sincere about that, God will continue to light their path. I believe that with all my heart. And so that's not for you to worry about, and that's not for me to worry about. Our worry is to make sure that we're doing what God has told us to do. Get in the way, not in His way, but in the way, doing what He wants us to do. And be faithful to go when He tells us to go. Be faithful to speak out, to testify, to witness to those that we have an opportunity to. And trust God for the results. But He is the light that lighteth every man. And I've already asked the question, how can you take somebody like the Lord Jesus Christ, who was God in the flesh, who came and did everything that He did and shined so much light, how do you take somebody like that and be in His presence as all these people were, reject Him? That's a hard question. And for me, I have a hard time understanding. But I've got a whole lot more light than a lot of these people had. And so for me to look back and be judgmental is not right. We live in the best time, and as far as I'm concerned, the best place that we could live. Brother Matt, we're blessed beyond measure. But John chapter 3, I think, shines a little light into this. How do they reject? Or why do they reject? And as I said, I believe it's willful. I don't think you can reject Christ unwillfully, because I believe He lighteth every man, just as we just read. But we'll just start in verse 16. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. For he that believeth on Him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. This is Christ talking to Nicodemus. I hope if you didn't realize that, that's what it is. And verse 19 says, and this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world. So that's talking about Christ. Light, He's brought light. And He said, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God. So, one of these passages, we oftentimes ask ourselves, we say, Lord, we've shared the gospel, we've done everything we know to do, we've taught these people the truth, and yet, Brother Rick, they still willfully reject the truth. And the question is, why? Well, the Bible tells us right here, light has come into the world. But the problem is that men love darkness rather than light. And why is that? Because their deeds are evil.
That's right.
You see, what happens is we've got a bunch of people that like doing what they're doing. And they know when they come into the exposure of the light of God's Word, what happens? They are exposed for what they truly are.
Right.
People like dwelling in darkness because you can't see them for what they really are. Hey, I know I sin too. There's been times in my life, Brother Kevin, I've tried to hide some things. And you know what happens? Hey, it's all right for a little while, but you know what happens to the believer?
Yes.
You start craving light. And you say, Lord, you get to a point in your life and you say, Lord, I've hid this long enough. I can't contain this anymore. I want some light.
Hey.
And so what we do is we come to the light. God exposes those things in our lives. And we say, Lord, I see it just like you see it now. And Brother Stephen, he changes you. And you want more light. And the child of God comes to the light. Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice. And they follow me.
Right.
I believe that's what differentiates the true believer from the sinner, is that they follow the shepherd. He's the light, we come to the light. If you love your evil deeds more than you love God, you'll stay in darkness.
Yeah.
You don't want to be shown, you don't want to come out into the light. Because your deeds are evil. You don't want to be manifested what you truly are. That's why people don't want to be saved. They don't want to expose themselves for what they really are. You see, God doesn't do business with people who won't accept what they really are.
That's right.
You want to get born again? You first got to become a sinner. If you stand back and you say, I'm not a sinner, I do the best. How many people do we talk to every day? They say, even over there, how are you getting to heaven? Well, I do good works.
Yeah, brother.
I do a good job. I believe I'm going to heaven.
Go ahead.
What does good works have to do with salvation?
Amen.
It's got nothing to do with it. But so many people are confused and deceived into believing that. They refuse to step out into the light. See, they dwell in darkness and try to do good deeds. Problem is, no matter how hard they try, there's still a lot of things that are hidden.
Right.
And by dwelling in the darkness, they're hiding what they truly are. And until you come out to the light, can't see it for what it really is. And people like to hide, don't they? People don't want you to know what they really are. You know what you really are. And a lot of times that's why we don't pick up our Bibles. That's why a lot of people don't want to come to church. They can say, oh, I'm busy. I ain't got time. They can say all those things, but you know the truth.
Oh, yeah.
They don't want to come. They don't want to open their Bible. They don't want to stand. And they don't want to give an account. They don't want to be accountable for the truth that they know.
Yes,
and it's just easier, Kevin.
Yes, sir.
It's easier for me to go in my room and to shut my light off. Hey, you go into somebody's house that's real dirty, it probably ain't going to be lit up real good. They're going to have doors shut. They don't want you seeing in those areas. Why is that? Because it's stuff they want to hide. You got anything in your life you want to hide? You got anything that's you're keeping in the dark?
Hey, that's good.
Go ahead.
Yeah. Hey,
God.
Folks, this is not just for sinners either.
Nope.
It says right there in that passage we're looking at, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us. But folks, you've got to be willing to come to the light. And that light is the Lord Jesus Christ. You can't straddle the fence. You can't be partially in the dark and partially in the light, because once the light shines, the darkness comprehendeth it not.
Right.
There's no more darkness once the light hits it. It's exposed. You can try to cover up all you want to. God knows what you are. It's just, are you willing to accept and understand what you truly are? We're all scoundrels. We're all sinners. The difference is how we deal with it. Do you want to cover it up, live in darkness? Or do you want to just expose yourself to the light of God and understand that Christ came to save sinners? He came to forgive us. He came to cleanse us. Just step out and say, Lord, I'm that. I'm a sinner.
And I want help. And I guarantee He'll help you. He wants to help us. And so I'm thankful for that. But He was made flesh for you and I. And He came and experienced everything that we experienced. That He might be a faithful high priest for us. That He can be our intercessor. He's experienced what we've experienced. He suffered what we've suffered. But yet He was without sin. But that makes Him be able to, the Bible says, succor them that are tempted. He's good to us, isn't He? And I'm thankful that He came. But the Bible says there in verse 21, it says, "But he that doeth truth cometh to the light." So what happens to somebody that's doing right, Dustin? Somebody that's trying to be godly and wants to do right and wants to love the Lord and tries to follow Him and is seeking Him, you know what they do? They constantly come to the light. They're constantly looking in the Word of God, wanting help. They're constantly praying. They're constantly coming to the house of God. They want to hear preaching. They want to read the Word. Because, Brother Rick, they've got a desire on the inside to be right with Him. We want light. It's a good day to check up. Do you want darkness? Do you want light? If you're a sinner today, you're dwelling in darkness. The Bible teaches us you're under the condemnation. We just read it. Because you've not believed on the name of the only begotten Son of God. It's not that Christ came to condemn you. He didn't. The Bible teaches us that.
Right.
He came to save us. But if you're living in unbelief, you're dwelling in condemnation. But then the saints of God, it's easy for us at times to convince ourselves that we've got things hidden, John. And I can hide things from Kevin. I can hide things from my wife. I can hide things from Brother Joe. But Joe, I can't hide them from God. And you and I can all come in here and we can stand and we can say that I'm right with God. We can sing the songs. We can testify.
Yes. Good.
But it will never be right with God until you're walking in the light.
Yeah.
It's just a form and a fashion.
Hey.
We just have a form of godliness, right? That's all you can have. If you're dwelling in darkness, all you can have is a form of godliness, and you're denying the power thereof. You can't have darkness and light. Don't work that way. I can't live in darkness all week long and then come in here and expect God's light to shine
right
down. Just don't work that way. Folks, we've got to be different. And this is what makes that passage there that we started with in 1 John, those first two verses that where it said, "That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled of the word of life. For the life was manifested. We have seen it and bear witness and show unto you that eternal life, which was with the Father and was manifested to us." He came to manifest Himself to us, to show us the light that we needed, that we could never see until Christ came. Without Christ, every one of us here would be in darkness today. But because He chose to manifest Himself, every one of us today, Brother Jerry, can dwell in the light of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'm thankful for that. And so in Christ, we don't just see, you know, we talked about last time the illuminating power. We look at these lights. We look at the sun. We look out here and we see the illumination. But you can't really get a vision, a glimpse of the source. But in Christ, we lay eyes on the source of light itself. And John 8:12 says, "I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life." I don't know about you, but I want the light of life. I want to walk in light. I don't want to be stumbling around in this thing. There's too many dangerous places to fall. Too many pits, too many traps. Brother, we can get tripped up, can't we? And I want some light shining in front of me so I know where to step. And so I want to walk in the light. Well, how do I do that? We got to follow Christ. He is the light. And John 12:46 says, "I am come a light into the world, that whosoever believeth on me should not abide in darkness. 2 Corinthians 4:6, for God who commanded the light to shine out of darkness hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in who? In the face of Jesus Christ.
Oh, yeah.
If you want light today, you'll get it through the Lord Jesus Christ. Look with me at Hebrews chapter 1. Hebrews chapter 1. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 1 through 4. God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by His Son, whom He hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also He made the worlds, who being the brightness of His glory and the express image of His person, and upholding all things by the word of His power, when He had by Himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the Majesty on high, being made so much better than the angels, as He hath by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. And so once again, God tells us right here in His Word that if you want to hear from God, if you want light of God, if you want the brightness of His glory, if you want to see God, the Bible says here in verse number 3 that He is the express image of His person. He created all things. He upholdeth all things by the word of His power. If you want God, you will get it through the light of the Lord Jesus Christ. Over and over and over again. See, there's people that are trying to bypass Christ. They want to go around Him. They don't like the message of the gospel. They don't want to accept that they're sinners and that they need to go through Christ. But He is the only way. If you want salvation, if you want light, if you want God, you'll get it through the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the only means. And that's a simple message, but it's a very important one that we cannot miss. And so God has chosen to speak through us to us only through His Son. Christ is the brightness of His glory, the express image of His person. And He, by Himself, purged our sins. He's the only means that we have of salvation. He came veiled to give us spiritual light. But you know, the neat thing about the Scripture is that although He was veiled, there were a few people that got to see some special glory. And they got a glimpse of His true form. And you can read about one. Look at Matthew chapter 17, I think it is. Matthew chapter 17. The Bible tells us this story, this account of how Jesus chose to reveal Himself to some of His disciples. Chapter Matthew 17, verse 1, it says, "And after 6 days Jesus taketh Peter, James, and John, His brother, and bringeth them up into an high mountain apart." See, it was a special place that not everybody was able to see. He took them apart. There were some special people to His heart. I believe these were some people that really wanted to be close to Christ. And you see what happens is when you really get to wanting Christ in your life, He'll give you some special insight. I'm not saying that He was going to reveal to you more of this word than He's not going to give you special words that have never been written before. But what He's going to do is He's going to brighten up what's already here. You see, it was not that they had anybody different before them. It was still the same Lord Jesus. But they got to see Him in a different way than what everybody else got to see Him. Why do you reckon that? Why do you think God chose Peter, James, and John? Why do you think that is? Do you think that's by coincidence? No. You have what we would call the inner circle. We have a group of men that I believe wanted God more than anybody else in this world.
Yes.
And because of that, I believe God honored that, Brother Adam. And He said, "Let me take you apart for a little while and show you something." And they get up there in verse number 2, chapter 17. It says, "And was transfigured before them, and His face did shine as the sun, and His raiment was white as the light."
And so they were seeing Christ for who He really was in His glory. And behold, there appeared unto them Moses and Elias talking with Him. Then answered Peter and said to Jesus, Lord, it is good for us to be here. If Thou wilt, let us make here three tabernacles, one for Thee, one for Moses, and one for Elias. While He yet spake, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them. And behold, a voice out of the cloud which said, This is My beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye Him. And when the disciples heard it, they fell on their face and were sore afraid. And Jesus came and touched them and said, Arise and be not afraid. And when they lifted up their eyes, they saw no man save Jesus only. Brother Adam, I mean, just for a moment of time, they got a glimpse of who the Lord Jesus really was. And it changed their lives. And they weren't able to tell about it at that time. But I'm glad that today we can read about it. And so they got special glimpse because I believe they had a desire in their heart, an earnest desire to know more about Christ, to be closer to Him. We know that John refers to himself over and over and over as the disciple whom Jesus loved. I believe he understood the love that Christ had for him. And he's the one that says we love Him because He first loved us. There was a special bond there between those disciples and Christ. And Peter was the first one in any crowd to speak out and confess the Lord Jesus Christ. And he failed God, but he wanted more God than anybody that I know. And we can give him a hard time, but he got to be there when nobody else did but them other two.
That's right, brother.
I didn't get to be there. You didn't get to be there, but Peter got to be there. And take it for what it's worth. He was special. And what made him so special is he wanted God. He wanted the Lord Jesus Christ. And you know what? If you want Him to, there'll be some special times in your life that only you will get to experience with the Lord Jesus. And if you've been in this thing for any time, you've ever got alone with God and said, Lord, right now I want You more than anything. If you're willing to put in that effort, I promise He will show you things about Himself that'll change your life.
Yeah. You're right.
And you say, well, I've never experienced that. Well, you've probably not spent a whole lot of time in this book. You've probably not called out to God in prayer enough. You read this thing and you spend a little time in it and be faithful and start asking God to show you some things. I will. I promise you, He will. We see it over and over. The Apostle Paul, Acts chapter 26. Acts chapter 26, verse 13. This is Paul recounting his testimony here to, I think, King Agrippa. And you can read about this in a couple other places in the book of Acts, but I like this one. Acts chapter 26, verse 13. He says, At midday, O king, I saw in the way a light from heaven above the brightness of the sun, shining round about me and them which journeyed with me. And when we were all fallen to the earth, I heard a voice speaking unto me and saying in the Hebrew tongue, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And I said, Who art thou, Lord? And he said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. But rise and stand upon thy feet, for I have appeared unto thee for this purpose, to make thee a minister and a witness both of these things which thou hast seen and of those things in which I will appear unto thee, delivering thee from the people and from the Gentiles, unto whom now I send thee, to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. And he says, Whereupon, O King Agrippa, I was not disobedient unto the heavenly vision. And you can keep on reading there, but what we see here is Paul got a special view of Christ. So much brightness that it blinded him, the Bible teaches us. And God made a lasting difference in Paul's life because of that vision.
And it'd do us all good to get a vision of Christ for who He really is. Mm-hmm. And you and I can't really handle it. And right now, there's very few people that have ever got to see Christ in this light right here. But one day, every one of us are going to see Him for who He really is.
Right.
And Pastor wanted me to make sure that I got this one in here. And so I'll read this to you. 1 Timothy, you can just listen. We're about done. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 13. It says, I give thee charge in the sight of God who quickeneth all things, and before Christ Jesus, who before Pontius Pilate witnessed a good confession, that thou keep this commandment without spot, unrebukable, until the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ, which in his times he shall show, who is the blessed and only potentate, the King of kings and the Lord of lords, who only hath immortality, dwelling in the light which no man can approach unto, whom no man hath seen nor can see, to whom be honor and power everlasting. Amen. And so right now, Christ is dwelling in light. He is light, so He can only dwell in light. And you and I can't lay eyes on Him like He is currently. But there's going to be a day that every eye shall behold Him. And the Bible says we're going to be like Him, for we're going to see Him as He is. And so we're going to finish up right here. Isaiah 60 says this. Isaiah chapter 60, verse 19 says, the sun shall be no more thy light by day, neither for brightness shall the moon give light unto thee, but the Lord shall be unto thee an everlasting light, and thy God thy glory. Thy sun shall no more go down, neither shall thy moon withdraw itself, for the Lord shall be thine everlasting light, and the days of thy mourning shall be ended. And so I'm thankful for that. And then the passage over in Revelation, chapter 21, verse 23, says, and the city had no more need of the sun, neither of the moon, to shine in it, for the glory of God did lighten it, and the Lamb is the light thereof. And the nations of them which are saved shall walk in the light of it, and the kings of the earth do bring their glory and honor into it, and the gates of it shall not be shut at all by day, for there shall be no night there. And they shall bring the glory and honor of the nations into it, and there shall in no wise enter into it anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh abomination, or maketh a lie, but that which are written, or they which are written in the Lamb's book of life. And he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. In the midst of the street of it, and on either side of the river, there was a tree of life, which bare 12 manner of fruits, and yielded her fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. And there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and His servants shall serve Him, and they shall see His face, and His name shall be in their foreheads, and there shall be no night there, and they need no candle, neither light of the sun. For the Lord God giveth them light, and they shall reign forever and ever. And he said unto me, these sayings are faithful and true. And the Lord God of the holy prophets sent his angel to show unto his servants the things which must shortly be done. And so today, we're going to see Christ as he is.
Yes, sir.
Might not be today, might be tomorrow. But one of these days, we are going to see Him. And for those of us that are born again, we're going to get to dwell in His light for all eternity. But if you're not saved, and you're dwelling in darkness, the call is still going out to you to come to His light. Just right over, later on in chapter 22, He says, behold, I come quickly. And if we're ever going to get right with the Lord, better do it now. Because He is coming quickly. He says in verse number 12, He says of chapter 22, and behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me to give every man according to all the work, as his work shall be.
I'm Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. And blessed are they that do His commandments, that they may have right to the tree of life and may enter in through the gates into the city. And the Bible says in verse 17, and the Spirit and the bride say, come. And let him that heareth say, come. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him come. Take of the water of life freely. If you want light, you can still have it today.
Yep.
That light has never stopped shining. And throughout eternity, the light of the Lord Jesus Christ is going to shine. And one of these days, we'll get to lay eyes on Him. I look forward to that day, don't you? I appreciate the good attention, and we'll have prayer for anybody that wants to pray back.